Welcome back, new talkers, to the Bob Davis Podcast. It is distasteful. I don't want to do this podcast, but I'm going to do it because I have to, because it's the big thing everyone's talking about, the latest political controversy. I'm going to call it Trump's Comic-Con 2017 in podcast 629. Now, before we get started, you know, you have heard me talking about xgovernmentcars.com for years. And so there's some new wrinkles at X Government Cars, and if you thought you knew X Government Cars, it's time to think again, because X Government Cars now has a broad selection of newer, better, low-mileage vehicles than ever before. We're talking about a line on Department of Homeland Security Expeditions and Yukons from the Border Patrol part of the government. That's why we call it X Government Cars. These are one owner, fleet-maintained government cars, trucks, and SUVs. They still have the Chargers. They still have the Crown Vics while they last, Ford Police sedans, Ford Police SUVs, and more. I was just over there just this last week to show Ed the newly buffed Mobile Podcast Command. There was a guy looking at Crown Vics. So they've got a great selection of these great one-owner, professionally-maintained government fleet cars, trucks, and SUVs. They pay the highest values for trades every day without all the bull. And the most important thing is, if you need a car and you need a loan and you have a job, you can get approved at xgovernmentcars.com. Like I said, they take trades. And don't forget the 3-day love it guarantee exclusively at X Government Cars. So here's what you do. Get your butt down to xgovernmentcars.com, located in Golden Valley at 2420 Nevada Avenue North. Go online at xgovernmentcars.com, check out the selection, or call them old school, 763-777-8782.
XGovernmentCars.com.
It's definitely in the news these days. Before we talk about Comey and all the crazy stuff with the Russians, there's a lot of talk about foreign manufacturing and the new president and Congress. Some companies are preparing to bring some of their manufacturing, if not all of their manufacturing, back to the United States. If your company is thinking about this, please keep in mind DepoStar, D-E-P-O-T, DepoStar American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing, DepoStar.com. Visit their website at depostar.com, or you just click on the banner at the top of the bobdavispodcasts.com. Yeah, a rare daytime podcast for me. Usually I'm doing this at 3 o'clock in the morning, and it is early in the evening. I got some stuff I got to do tonight. I want to get this out of the way. But at the same time, I don't want to let too much time pass before I address this this situation with the president firing the FBI director, and controversy rages. And as usual, I'm going to present a little bit different take on this, because I'm not going to explain it to you. I'm not going to go through a litany of facts that lead to a conclusion that will lead you to believe a certain thing or another. That is not the intention of this podcast, nor is it ever the intention of these podcasts these days. What we have is a situation where the siloed media rages about any particular outrage or political story on any given day. You've heard me talk about this many times. You listen to your guy, you watch TV, you react, assume, and you believe accordingly. And it is a constant manipulation. And I don't know who or why. I don't know what the intent is, whether it's profit or some other thing. But there is a constant attempt to manipulate, meaning there is a constant attempt to get you to think a certain thing. Whether it is the idea that there's a double standard, that everything Trump does is right or everything Trump does is wrong, that Republicans are bad, that Republicans are good, that Democrats are bad, that Democrats are good. Basically, it adds up to my team is better than your team. I bleed red, and therefore I have to support anything and everything my team does because I believe in my team, or I bleed blue, and I have to support everything that my team says and does because my team is better than your team, and so on. That is not, I would assert, an informed populace. That is akin to the Roman chariot races. Nothing I can say advances this story because there are so many assertions, responses, meetings in the bushes, comments at press conferences, stories being written, spins being attempted, and everything else that getting down to the core of the truth is virtually impossible in the court of public opinion. Yes, the President of the United States can fire the FBI director anytime he wants. No, it is not normal. The last time it happened was when Bill Clinton fired, I think it was William Sessions 25 years ago. Sessions was what? A Reagan appointee. And I think my understanding is that Sessions engaged in a sham transaction regarding his FBI limo and taxes. And I think he also had the government pay for something at his house, a fence or something, and this is what caused Clinton to fire Sessions. But yes, the President of the United States can and should have the team he wants in place if he wants that team in place, and that includes the FBI director or the Attorney General or the State Department official or the Surgeon General or whomever. And he can fire people and hire people depending on what he wants and how he wants to do it. I could go on and on about how these are political offices, and some presidents are a little bit more take a little bit more finesse regarding moving people in and out of administration. Trump doesn't do that, and that's fine. That's his style. Some people can hate it. Some people can love it. It's neither here nor there. But this is what he does. And either you believe the official account that Trump waited for the deputy attorney general to be confirmed. He wanted to get rid of Comey at the beginning. He waited for the deputy attorney general to be confirmed, since this is the guy who the FBI director's boss actually is. And then fired him because he was going to do it on the 21st of January anyway and had to wait. Or you can believe that it had to do with Comey's investigation of Hillary Clinton's email server and the public losing faith in the agency, and that's why it was done. It's hard to tell. The only reason I bring up the Hillary Clinton thing, I'll explain in a second. Or you believe that Trump fired Comey because he asked for more resources to expand an ongoing probe regarding Russian involvement in the 2016 election. The idea that Comey had asked the day before for more money to expand the Russia probe is something the FBI has denied, but other sources confirm that he told congressmen and senators that, so it's hard to tell what's going on. Here again, the facts are suddenly obscured by the fog of controversy and manipulation, depending on which side of the fence that you're on. Or you can believe something else, and whatever that is, you can fill in the blank. What's the truth? Good luck figuring that out, especially if you have two sources of information, which include the local talk radio station and Sean Hannity or some other partisan talk show or The Daily Cause and CNN or Rachel Maddow or The Morning Joe or whatever nonsense that you watch or listen to, up to and including any kind of blog or anything being written or anything else. I did a fair amount of research before I decided to do this podcast because these days I'm trying to find an angle that makes some sense. And I can't tell you how many articles that I would read three or four paragraphs and go, okay, so this is clearly a partisan thing. Look up the guy's name, find out that he's working for a foundation or agency or was part of a campaign or whatever on whatever side. So you just basically have to discount these things or read them over and over again to try to discern or extract basic facts about what happened or didn't happen regarding whatever story is going on. A good example is the reports of the USS Carl Vinson, which was supposedly heading towards North Korea when it was heading in the opposite direction because somebody didn't get the word or whatever. And, we, the people, didn't know what the hell was going on. We didn't know if that ship was going to North Korea or not, or whether it's even there yet, because I don't have radar and I can't tell what ships in the U.S. Navy are where at any given moment. So I don't know where they are and I don't know what's going on. So there's a couple of things that I want to say. First of all, the Hillary Clinton email scandal and the Russia probe are two different cases. Lots of people, especially on the right, conflate those two. They are not the same thing. They're two different cases, not related other than the connections that exist through politics on the issue. In my view, there is a serious issue here, and this is the question of the truth regarding allegations of attempts by a foreign power to influence the U.S. election in 2016. That would be Russia. And if those allegations are true, and again, we still haven't proven without a doubt that the Russians did hack and then intervene, other than the usual flow of propaganda from Russia Today and other sources. And sources that aren't necessarily affiliated with Russia. But if it's true, then we get into this question about allegations that people who worked in the Trump campaign colluded with the Russians in their alleged efforts to influence the elections. This isn't about the Clinton emails. This is about a foreign power intervening in a U.S. election, which is an allegation, by the way, again. So it is a national security issue to get to the bottom of this. I'm sorry to say, and I think even the most unreasonable person has to agree with that. The most important thing to the democratic process in the United States is being able to hold elections which are free of corrupt influences, including and especially the influences of foreign governments. You know, the other thing that's really important here is this question of whether or not Donald Trump knew or was involved in these efforts to collude. So these questions aren't going to go away. You can't make them go away with ridicule. You can't make them go away if you don't agree with them. You can't make them go away if you don't like the other team. They're not going to go away, and I'll tell you why in a second. It is alleged that the Russians hacked into DNC servers and released a trove of emails from DNC officials to WikiLeaks. It's common, you know, it's, I don't want to say common knowledge, but I would say it's a commonly held belief that this is true. My information is that they still haven't determined without a doubt that it was Russia. So we have to determine that. Those emails then became fodder for Russia Today stories and other Russian propaganda efforts, which may or may not be on the surface connected to Russia, that were efforts to tarnish the Democrats in the 2016 election. Pizzagate is a good example. Look it up. I'm not going to go through the whole complicated thing. It is alleged, because I don't know that this is even true, that the chief beneficiary of these fake news stories was candidate Donald Trump. These were not the emails on Hillary Clinton's email server in her bathroom at wherever the hell she lives in New York, but the DNC server emails. So this is the stuff that was taken from the spear phishing scheme that netted John Podesta and somehow allowed whoever was hacking in to get into the DNC servers. Now, how do I ask this question? And again, you know, these are allegations about Trump being the chief beneficiary, whether or not it was done by the Russians, whether it was done by the CIA, whether it was done by, you know, any of these other groups. Do you know this didn't happen personally? Do you have facts and personal knowledge that this did not happen? Do you have facts and personal knowledge that this did happen? Because I don't. Because my investigation of just the news stories and the things that have been written suggest there's enough doubt that the Russians even hacked into the DNC servers that we don't know the answer to that question yet. I think they probably did, but I don't know for sure, and you don't either. And I do know, though, that this is a serious question. So that's what I know. We have some serious questions that aren't going to go away because of the national security implications of another foreign government, especially the Russians, impinging themselves in the U.S. election process. Now, we know that they've done that in other countries. We know that this is a chief method for their efforts to destabilize countries that are targets, such as the Ukraine, and so on. And you can look that up, too. This is nothing new. Second, I know that President Donald Trump fired the FBI director who was in the midst of conducting an investigation into the Russian question. Regardless of the reasons the president has for firing Comey, this raises a whole bunch of questions, which are questions that have to be answered. When it comes to Congress, Do you think Republican congressmen and senators are going to be able to say, we don't need a special prosecutor now because I know the president didn't do anything wrong, and I know the Russians didn't try to influence the election, and moreover, I know the White House can't influence the FBI in this issue because, well, you just fired the FBI director. If you don't think that's an influence, you're out of your mind. So now no congressman or senator can answer unequivocally that those things are true or false. So they're going to do what any lawyer would do, which is they're going to say, we have to have somebody who is an uninterested party or an objective party look at all of the information and give us a finding. And so there's going to be a big fight about whether or not the Senate should continue to investigate, and there's going to be a big fight to find out whether the House should continue to investigate or whether all of that should be turned over to a special prosecutor. And I will leave, you know, the answer to that over the next few days and weeks as we try to figure this out, because the bottom line here is the question itself must to be answered, and definitively. Third, and most importantly, Hillary Clinton did not lose the election specifically because of any alleged Russian hacking or efforts to influence up to and including the fake news. She did not lose the election because of the email scandal, whether it was decided to prosecute or not prosecute on the part of the FBI. She lost the election because, from a Democrat point of view, Hillary Clinton is a moderate and the party is moving to the left. She was a bad candidate for Democrats. And as I have demonstrated in other podcasts, Democrat voters did not show up for her in key electoral states. On the other hand, can you definitively say that alleged Russian influence in the political atmosphere of 2016 did not negatively affect voter turnout for Clinton? In other words, voter suppression. Because I can't. That's another question that has to be established. First, by establishing what exactly the Russians did or did not do, and then establishing what effect it may or may not have had. So we don't have a definitive answer to that question. So this question has to be answered because doubts have to be put aside so that we can move forward. Trying to stop it or doing things that have the appearance of trying to stop it do not put the question to bed. Now, you can say, oh, this will never be put to bed. But this is why we have investigations. This is why directors of the FBI testify and so forth. So those are not disclaimers, but those are important things to point out that you're really not getting with the biased, and biased media is an understatement, with the manipulations that go on 24 hours a day at top volume in our country's media. I don't know what it was. I went someplace the other night, and we were all talking about how weird it is because it's so light, you know, because we're getting towards summer. And of course, the peak of summer is June. People are already out riding, and you should be aware that it's important to look for and see motorcycles. And if you ride, you know it's important too, of course. Now, I've been talking about Zero3D.com. This is the great motorcycle products and accessories company. They have great lighting options and solutions to help you be seen both from the back and the front. So here's what you do. Go to Zero3D.com, click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com, or go to Zero3D.com, C-I-R-O-3D.com. They've got pipes, they've got all kinds of options, phone holders, camera mounts, device holding systems, all sorts of things, cup holders, and of course, the lighting options at Zero3D.com. So what about ComeyCon 2017 or Trump's ComeyCon 2017? Well, the problem as I see it is that people really do not want to know the full story. They just want to support their chariot team. So Americans are being put in impossible positions constantly of having to pass judgment on what happened in the day's news, what the president's intentions were, whether somebody's campaign was up to snuff, and so forth. And not to draw a parallel between this and Watergate, because I think we're way premature to do that. But during the whole Watergate thing, nobody knew what the hell was going on. At first, people supported Nixon and they supported the Republicans. And by the way, the partisanship thing was a lot more suppressed than it is now. But nobody really knew. And finally, people had to admit, well, I don't know what happened. I can't tell what happened, even if I thought Nixon was good, bad, or whatever. I can't say. And so there was a sense of a malaise and the country came to kind of a standstill during this whole period of the summer of 1973, spring and summer of 73, because nobody knew what was going on. And that was a long time ago, you know, in 1973. And in the midst of the time of 1973 to 2017, the government has become much more involved in our lives. I've done podcasts where I've demonstrated that really the government began this process of getting involved in the individual's life in this country, which I think is at odds with the intent of at least the Declaration of Independence, if not the Constitution. Every disturbance in Washington, D.C. becomes the concern of everyday citizens because it is broadcast 24 hours a day on the media. And these days, especially with all of the people writing and speaking from an advocacy point of view. And it isn't just the White House press secretaries or congressmen and senators, but it's all of the people that are part of the process who have to write articles that prove to you why you should think this, that, or the other thing. Honestly, I don't care what you think. I don't agree with everyone that is my friend or my listeners, but I've reached the point where I don't think we have much of an effect on what goes on in Washington, D.C. And it's dangerous because the government is so powerful and so involved in our everyday lives. I do believe that some things in Washington should stay in Washington. We should use the Vegas theory that the things that happen in Las Vegas should stay in Las Vegas, because I think that there are things that happen in Washington which you and I can't pass judgment on, and they don't affect and shouldn't affect anything. But they are national news, even though they're some weird intrigue or whatever. We are being ill-served by advocacy media, especially when the average person accesses only a couple of sources, dubious at best, and it doesn't matter what it is. Why do you think people are listening to mystery podcasts? Why do you think more people listen to my podcasts about travel and about inspiration than they do about the political stuff? Because people are sick and tired of being told what to think all the time. And if there's a new thing in these podcasts, I'm not going to interview politicians. I'm not going to have people on that are going to explain stuff because they don't know either. Do you think Eric Paulson or Tom Emmer, if you're listening in Minnesota, or your local congressman, if you're listening in some other part of the country, has any idea what Trump did or didn't do? Of course not. They don't know. They don't know anything more than we know. In some cases, they actually know less because they're not out here talking to us. And if Tom Emmer goes to a cocktail party, people are going to just tell him what he wants to hear anyway. So they're out of touch as much as anybody. And we are all out of touch because we're listening to what we think we should listen to, because what we want is someone to tell us what we want to hear. So we're being ill-served by all of this advocacy media. And I think a lot of people are just turning it off. And this is especially true when the average person accesses only a couple of sources, dubious at best. And you can name those sources. I'm not going to go through that. Even when you can't trust things people write three or four levels down. That's the other thing, because I'm reading commentary and editorials and everything else. We are long on commentary and editorial of people telling us what happened, but we're very short on actual investigative reporting of what happened. Byron York is a good reporter. He can tell us what he thought happened, but we don't have people that are out digging things down. Two or three different sources to tell you what actually happened. We just hear things. So when you talk to people who call themselves activists, whether, as I said, they're elected officials or local party workers or local party elected officials, basic political unit chairs and, you know, congressional district chairs and so forth, county chairs, they feel obligated to fight for their team no matter what, and they'll make you think they know more than they know, but they don't. Just for example, this weekend I had a conversation with somebody about the number of jobs that were created, and you know, Trump has created this many jobs. And I said, well, first of all, you're double counting and you can't say that. And then I came home and I did some research because I wanted to know, and I'll probably eventually end up doing a podcast about employment numbers. But that's the kind of thing where somebody will hear something and they'll say, this is true. Well, not necessarily, because you really shouldn't say that. Because the proof of the pudding is going to be in GDP growth and so forth and so on, or the proof of the pudding is going to be in, you know, whether or not we're able to solve this diplomatic problem. Either Trump is a horrible person, you know, or, you know, and a terrible president is a disaster and he's going to leave soon, or everything he does is great. He's really smart. He's rope-a-doping the Democrats. You know, he's trolling the Democrats and the left and thus keeping them off balance so he can work all these miracles, supposedly. So what's the truth? Well, the truth is there's really not much being done by the Republicans who are in control of Congress and the White House to address the basic issues confronting the United States today. You know, we just found out that we've had 0.7% economic growth in the first quarter. Over the last 8 years, we've averaged 1.5% economic growth in a country that is not used to that. And this is why people in the lower parts of the economic registers in this country, anything below the top 5%, is kind of struggling. Even those making $350,000 a year are struggling because we're seeing inflation be more impactful on consumer items. We are seeing less pay. We are seeing lower productivity. We're seeing less growth. And so that's one of the things that is negatively affecting the country. And what some people say is the reason that the Democrats didn't win the election, why people said, let's try the Republicans, because we want these basic issues addressed. Now, certainly there have been some improvements here and there. We are told there are improvements on the border regarding immigration. I don't know what effect that'll have economically. We are told that Trump's executive orders are doing all these things, but if you actually look at the executive orders and read them, what do they do? First of all, most of his executive orders are either tied up in court challenges, especially the most important ones. The Sanctuary City court are being challenged in courts, and the Syrian immigration stuff is being challenged in courts. Or the executive orders order studies to be made and make recommendations. The Buy American thing is a recommendation, plus a study to find out about what it would cost to buy American. So he's not actually buying American, but he calls the executive order a name that makes it sound like a bill. The usual intent of executive orders is to actually run the government. On the other hand, Congress, which is the most important body in the United States government because its power is vested in individuals, and specifically the House of Representatives, but also the Senate because we elect senators directly, Congress, on the other hand, hasn't done much. The House passed a bill that leaves most of the provisions of the ACA intact, despite calling it a repeal and replace bill, which, by the way, hasn't passed the Senate and probably won't. The House and Senate passed a spending bill that really isn't that different from previous spending bills under the Obama administration, to the chagrin of most of the people that voted Republican. There have certainly been expected changes and shuffling of personnel associated with a new cabinet and a new government of a new president. Some of those things are good, some not so good, depending on how you think about things. There's been much ado about the first 100 days, which, by the way, is a meaningless concept and a political construct of FDR to address a national crisis, the Depression in 1932. But that first 100 days was characterized by legislation from Congress and not executive orders. While there have certainly been actions taken by Republicans that might be looked upon as accomplishments, not much is getting done when it counts and where it counts in the economic questions. So we're talking about health insurance costs that Warren Buffett said recently is choking American business and corporate business, corporate and individual tax reforms, which may or may not pass now, depending on what happens with the health care thing, reducing the size, scope, and power of the federal government. And so suddenly right-wing talk show hosts are talking about what? Because you can't keep talking about how Congress is stymie. They're talking about how the Trump administration is being undermined, or how we need to concentrate on a constitutional convention as though only conservatives would come to such a convention, or other such nonsense. And that's what it is. It's all nonsense. I don't need Savage to tell me that Trump's presidency is in trouble and that he just needs to be Trump and everything else. I think he's doing fine at being Trump. But his style is, you know, what's causing most of this. And I think he revels in creating a lot of media attention for whatever reason. That may prove to be his undoing, since many, many times with most presidents, their positives are also their negatives. It's a double-edged sword. But we'll get into that later at some point. Basically, we're not getting anywhere I mean, I'm sorry, but we're not getting anywhere. And we have a president in the White House who tends to act erratically, regardless of whether what inspires him is politically correct for the right or not, or politically correct for the left or not. He talks a lot. He does a lot of things. He demonstrates a lot. He signs executive orders that, quite honestly, by the nature of executive orders, really don't do much. But he signs them in front of audiences, like presidents use to sign legislation, like the Civil Rights Act, things of that nature. And yet we're left with things that come and go that appear to be potential national crises, like the Syria thing, or the fleet off the coast of North Korea, or trade issues, and on and on and on, or things going on and great unrest in the public, which I honestly believe is due to the fact that government is the go-to guy for every single problem that we have in this country. And so, of course, people are protesting and frustrated and angry. But we're not talking about addressing those issues because we're talking about the latest outrage, which in this case is firing Comey. Maybe that's why he did it, because it would take attention off of the things that haven't been resolved in the first 100 days, even though there was all this acrimony about whether or not the first 100 days were of any value. I would say, if I had to predict the future, and I hate doing it because I hate that, because then I feel that I have to defend my prediction, but until this Russia question is answered, it's going to continue to boil. And eventually it's going to boil over, and it might not be very pretty. I think my sense of what I read about how Trump conducts business and what he does all day is disturbing to me. But most disturbing to me is the fact that the Republican Party in particular, which is supposed to defend all these liberty agenda items, really isn't doing that because we're not getting really anything done. That's my own particular idea. I'd like to see action. I would have liked to have seen a complete repeal of Obamacare. I would like to see, you know, budget cutting, not budget increasing, and so on. And I'm not seeing that from my perspective. So I don't look at it and say a lot's been done. Now, if you want to believe the propaganda because it's your team, then you go ahead and do that. But I think you do that at your own risk. And I think people who advocate for or attack for any reason risk their own credibility being seriously damaged. You know, when I look at Trump's supposed accomplishment, I think things are getting straightened out on the border, if you want to believe the reports of the number of people coming across the border. I supported the Keystone Pipeline executive order, and I think having these pipelines finished is really important, and I think American energy production is really important. I don't support the trade protection stuff. I think that's a mistake. I don't think that he's done much on the economy. I don't believe that when he talks about things like priming the pump that he really understands, classic economics, which is what I think we need. And I don't think he's demonstrated an ability to lead Congress to do what needs to get done, which is to substantially reduce the power of the federal government. Maybe he's doing that and I'm not seeing it, but I want to see the results before I say that something's been accomplished. But that doesn't mean I can't compliment Trump. And it also doesn't mean that I'm going to defend in a knee-jerk way everything he does because he's, quote-unquote, my president and it's my team, which, by the way, it's not. I don't think either party is serving the American people these days at all. And I think we need new political structures when it comes to political parties. We'll talk about those in the future. But there you go. So that's what I think about the whole Comey thing. And I hope you get enough information to make your own decisions regarding this, because this thing ain't going away. Remember, if you thought you knew ex-government cars, think again. They have a broad selection of newer, better, low-mileage vehicles than ever before. Over 30 lenders to get your car loan approved fast. Great deals from my friend Ed Johnson at exgovernmentcars.com. Get your butt down to
exgovernmentcars.com.
Thanks to you guys for listening to podcast 629, Trump's Comic-Con 2017. thanks for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, The Page at TheBobDavisPodcast.com. Love the streaming and hope you're enjoying that as well at TheBobDavisPodcast.com. And I appreciate the likes and the shares and the favorites and so forth on Facebook and Twitter and other social media, and your donations for Mobile Podcast Command. at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks for listening.